Pacific economic ministers have been holding virtual meetings this week, trying to nut out a way forward out of the COVID-19 crisis in unity. But as they've done so, there's an undercurrent of tension over who will next lead the Pacific Islands Forum. There's a five-way race to succeed Dame Meg Taylor as Secretary General when she steps down in January, and an uphill battle for the winner as he or she tries to guide the region through a post-COVID economic recovery and continued action on climate change. But the leadership contest is generating a lot of friction because of a long-standing so-called gentleman's agreement. Pacific Beat's Nick Fogarty has taken a look at what's going on. So, Nick, what's the problem here?
Well, in the spirit of regional solidarity, one of the principles of the forum has been to rotate the position of Secretary General around the sub-regions, and Micronesia is adamant that it's their turn. In the last few weeks, the leaders of the Micronesian countries, so Marshall Islands, Nauru, Kiribati, Federated States of Micronesia, and in particular Palau, have been very vocal in reminding the other forum countries that they agreed last year that it was Micronesia's turn to put their candidate forward. And here's the Marshall's ambassador to the US, Gerald Zakios. But Mr. Zakios will have company on the ballot paper in the form of rival candidates from Tonga, Fiji, Solomon Islands, and Cook Islands. And by way of a subplot, the Micronesian group is also fighting against calls to defer the appointments of the new secretariat until later next year, with other regions seeking a delay because of what they saw as complications caused by the COVID-19 pandemic.
And just why does Micronesia view this as such an important issue?
Well, Palau's President Tommy Remengesau Jr. has been quoted as saying that the rotation of the position symbolises the inclusiveness of the Pacific Islands Forum. I was speaking earlier to Associate Professor Sandra Tart, the Director of Politics and International Affairs at the University of the South Pacific, and she told me that while the apparent shunning of the rotation agreement is certainly significant, it's not the first time PIF conventions have fallen by the wayside.
It's significant. But I think at the same time, it's not new. And the political understandings that applied at the very beginning of the forum and applied, for some time during its initial period, I think they've all kind of unraveled to some extent as more countries have come in and personalities have changed.
So what impact did all of this have on the virtual conference of the forum's economic ministers this week?
Well, as you might expect, the management of the eventual economic recovery from COVID-19 was top of their agenda. And Associate Professor Tart says while the forum countries acknowledge they'll need to work together in the long term to manage the economic rebound, it's actually COVID that's causing much of the tension.
The upheaval of COVID is I think, going to be playing out for some time. And the initial impact, I think, obviously has been for countries to, as you know, everyone shutting their borders and trying to protect themselves from the virus and containing spread of the virus. And in some ways, the forum, the current forum, has tried to step in and provide some assistance in that task of particularly providing humanitarian assistance to countries currently facing border closures and so on. But I think there is a dilemma here, and the current Secretary General has referred to it when she says that, countries obviously turn inwards and they look to themselves at these times of crises, but, we really also need to be pulling together and trying to help each other and strengthening our own region. And I think with the forum and like all regional bodies and international bodies, everything is done now remotely. And so this is also having an impact, I think, on how effective they can be.
Now, the outgoing Secretary General, Dame Meg Taylor, was the first woman to hold that position, but she's expressed concern that the organisation is still very much a boys' club dominated by men. So how can the forum overcome this problem?
Well, in an editorial published this week, in fact, Dame Meg said she felt personally that she hadn't driven hard enough on issues involving women and female participation in public life in the region and at the top level of bureaucracies. And as if to prove her point, only one of the five contenders for Dame Meg's job is a woman. However, development economist Amelia Kinohoi Siamoamoa from Tonga is no stranger to high-powered roles. She has 35 years of professional experience with premier international institutions behind her, speaks fluent Tongan, Samoan, Tokpisin and English, and right now she's serving as head of gender at the Commonwealth Secretariat in London. I spoke to her earlier.
I think it's important to reiterate what makes you want to take up this job or what makes you qualified for this role? And I would like to say that I think PIFS needs an impartial and honest broker for the position, steering it into a much wanted blue Pacific continent. And as an international civil servant, my purpose is just that, to be that honest broker and servant leader as an international civil servant, serving the leaders and all member countries to build back the blue Pacific. And I know PIFS, I'm passionate about PIFS. I believe I'm also not a compromise candidate, and I'm fit for purpose. And most important, if I may, knowledgeable in what will work, where, and what will not work.
That was Tonga's nominee, Amelia Kinahoi Siamoamoa, and the other nominees are Cook Islands Prime Minister Henry Puna, Gerald Zakios, as we mentioned, Dr. Jimmy Rogers from Solomon Islands, and from Fiji, Ratu Inoke Kubuabola.
And we'll keep you updated on all those ructions here on ABC Radio Australia. That was Pacific Beat reporter Nick Fogarty.